There's growing concern that some people are going to extreme lengths to try and avoid getting a COVID vaccine. While nearly three quarters of Australians aged 16 and over are now double vaccinated, there is a minority who just refuse to get the jab. And GPs are reporting an increase in abuse, threats, even bribery from patients trying to pressure the doctor to provide medical exemptions. Dr. Karen Price is a general practitioner and president of the Royal Australian College of GPs. Karen Price, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
GPs across the country have reported, some have reported abuse and threats from those who are vaccine hesitant or anti-vax patients. What are you hearing from your colleagues?
Oh, yeah, we're hearing a lot of abuse. And I think the thing that's most disturbing is this sort of organisation of the anti-vax group where we get a templated letter that's presented to us. And so we know that it's actually organised. It's not someone who's vaccine hesitant with a few questions. There appears to be an organised effort to try and get around having a vaccine. So for doctors, this is kind of strange because, you know, vaccines save lives and those around them, people are trying to get out of that, which is, I guess, something that we still scratch our heads about a bit.
A letter, an organised, campaign of letter writers from anti-vaxxers is not too intimidating, I would have thought. What are you hearing? Because I have seen quotes that, the harassment to GPs' offices is increasing. Relenting, vicious, unforgiving and damaging is how one GP has described it to us.
Yes, that's right. So there's, definitely some people who have been frightened to go to work. They've been, physically, felt intimidated physically. They've had verbal threats and all of that. And they've also, as you said in the intro, people have been experiencing the attempted bribery to throw the vaccine down the sink, but record it as a vaccination. So it's been one hell of a ride, really, Fran.
And when you say physical threats, people frightened to come to work, this is from people who are sort of turning up the GPs and saying, "You've got to give me a certificate." Is it? Give me a certificate.
That's right. Vaccine exemptions, or yeah, that's right.
Okay. And how prevalent would you say this is?
Look, it's we know we're getting down to the sort of last sort of 10% or so, and so we are going to face increasing resistance from those, and certainly as workplaces return and are mandated vaccination for freedom of movement and so forth, that's going to, I would think, increase this kind of intense pressure.
Do you think it's going to increase? Not every state, of course, has the same vaccine mandate. There are restrictions for unvaccinated people currently in New South Wales and Victoria. Are we seeing this type of, threats and coercion and abuse increasing as people in particularly those states realise there's a whole lot they can't do that other people are doing and they want to be able to do it? Is that going to lift the pressure, do you think, on GPs?
I think it will definitely lift the pressure on GPs, obviously we support each other in that and make sure that we're practicing safely, but we've also got to look after the safety of our staff and of the actual workplace. So it's very, very important to make sure that people, if you don't want to have a vaccine and you do want to come and see us, then we're going to talk to you about, what's going on, the actual science, rather than having a frankly abusive discussion. That's not really acceptable.
Just back to the bribes, can you give us a sense of, how much money people are offering or how often and how the doctor's handling it?
Well, I like I said, they're a bit gobsmacked, but bribes from as little as $200 up to $5,000 have been offered to GPs on reporting on the forums about what they're being offered. So clearly all been turned down, but really quite. And when that doesn't happen, that's when potentially, when that's refused, that's potentially when some people can arc up a bit and start to put even more pressure on the doctor. So, it is a concern because that's obviously not something that any doctor or healthcare worker wants to experience.
So what's the advice for doctors? The Medical Council of New South Wales published an article with guidelines for medical practitioners to make them aware of the strict criteria for exemptions because of this. So are doctors unclear of the exemptions? And what are those exemptions?
The exemptions are, as I've said repeatedly, vanishingly rare. You might have a temporary exemption if you've got a current serious medical condition or about to go in for an operation, but really it's just to an anaphylaxis, a very serious allergy to ingredients in the vaccine. So and to have both ingredients in each vaccine that you're allergic to is really, really uncommon. So if you can't have one, you can generally have another, and the rest of them are really just a temporary, a temporary exemption while you go through some kind of advanced treatment.
We sort of tend to use this term anti-vaxxers as a catch-all, and it's got pretty negative connotations right at the moment, given some of the things you've been describing. But are most of the people who are actively coming in and saying, please, 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 can you give me an exemption? Because how many of them are sort of frightened because of, you know, they're fearful of negative reactions or they've got misinformation, and how many of them are persuaded by talking with the doctor? How frequent is this?
Fran, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think they are really desperate people and they're frightened, and it's concerning that they've got a huge big dose of misinformation. So there are quite a few who still need to be talked through, but, you know, it's like someone needing to, when they have to give up a particular idea that they've been fed over and over again, it takes a little bit of time. And so I hope that with using skills of empathy and discussion that we can get through that. It might not be the first consultation, but we always encourage people to come back and to consider what we've said to them, and we often give them printed material so that they can help them understand. And we'd really welcome that discussion because we realise how much misinformation is out there.
And what about, too, if people, they might want an exemption, or some might be coming in looking for hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin or those sort of things, which they're not allowed to be given, are they?
No.
Is that frequent? Is there an increase in that?
That has dissipated a little bit recently. So that was sort of probably a month or two ago, and haven't seen so much of that.
Is there an issue there? I mean, some people, I've spoken to people who have done a lot of research, are convinced, for instance, that ivermectin is a positive and they would like to use it. Why can't they?
Because the studies are not have not shown any benefit, and there was a major fraudulent study which was included in some of the what we call systematic reviews, where you collect all the studies and try and get a particular answer of multiple studies, and that was used. And so it's tainted the whole lot of evidence and research trials based on ivermectin. So, you know, the TGA is continually reviewing the information and data coming in from overseas, and so I'm very confident of the scientists there balancing up all the papers. They go through 200 pages of a trial paper and to make sure that we're getting the right treatments. And we certainly are looking at more and more treatments for active COVID.
As we've been speaking, someone's written in and said a friend of mine who's still scared of getting the vaccination has gone to 3 GPs. Not one of them took the opportunity to help her understand the vaccination and reassure her. She's since lost her job. My friend has a mental health condition and GPs weren't helpful. Do you think there needs to be better messaging to the GPs to make sure, you know, that doesn't happen?
Well, I'd be disappointed if they weren't getting the right information at that time and applying some compassion to someone who's really quite obviously desperate and needs to have really good information. I'd encourage them to keep looking around for a GP who can spend
the time
with them.
Well, she's tried three.
Yeah, that's disappointing to hear.
On another issue, yesterday the TGA approved Pfizer COVID shots, booster shots for people 18 years and older. The rollout will kick off in just over a week. We still haven't reached 80% double vaccination rates across the country. What's your position as a GP? Can the current healthcare system cope with the demand of another round, this case of booster shots? Do we have the capacity, the staff, to administer them?
Absolutely. GPs have delivered over 19 million doses, so we are looking forward to boosters, but we realise there's still small areas of Australia who are lagging behind, and so we're concerned about getting those people vaccinated as well as administering boosters, which will basically help the entire community in reducing the effect of COVID upon the whole population. So it's a combination strategy. GPs deliver the vast bulk of vaccinations prior to COVID anyway, so this is pretty much par for course for us.
Karen Price, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Dr. Karen Price is president of the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners.